Coming up on this week's show. Yes, but that's all far too easy. Isn't it, Scrim? Yes, it is. And while I know that we have a timetable to keep, Captain, one which we are well on our way to doing so, might I suggest that we take a look around, perhaps, at our next stop, if we have the opportunity. Perhaps look into this mystery on our own. See if perhaps we can discover the true villain and clear this ship's name, if not just the name of some of its crew. Does that work for persuasion? Let's take a look, shall we? I have a very good persuasion. Well, I rolled a 19 and I have a plus 8. Gonna guess that succeeds.
This is the worst actual play podcast ever.
You can say that again.
Wherein our host tries to play a variety of different role-playing games entirely on his own.
Tries and fails, don't you mean?
And now, here's your host, Scormy.
What a hack!
This month, we'll be playing Dark Matter from Mage Hand Press. And for our Oracle, we will once again be using the Game Master's Apprentice Storyteller Cards Sci-Fi Deck from Larcenous Designs.
Welcome back to our show. My name is Scormy. Now, rather than getting through all the recaps and all that, let's just get right into it, shall we? We rejoin Frank on board the bridge of the Slipstream Vagabond, about to speak with his captain, James Marcy.
All right, Scrim, out with it. What was all that about, actually?
Well, I do believe, Captain, that was about a human body at terminal velocity striking concrete. Quite the mess, one might say.
Yes, indeed, of course, but what was behind it?
Well, Captain, I do believe gravity played a large role.
You're being evasive, Scrim. What do you have to do with all this?
Captain, I am concerned by your tone. I am as much a victim as any of us. I simply wish to take some nice pictures and video of my fighter craft in amongst the picturesque sunset we had before us.
That wasn't sunset, that was roughly noon, I think.
Yes, but it's always sunset on that rock. Isn't it?
That's beside the point.
Yes, but you're missing mine. I simply happen to be standing there, taking photos and video, when I was so rudely interrupted, as you have seen.
Yes, Scrim, I'm well aware of the mess that was created. But you have to understand the mess you've put us into.
Me? Why, I live only to serve.
Enough!
You know very well what I'm speaking of. And certainly, you have been quite the aid to this crew and ship. Not only in your piloting skill, but also in the incidental disappearance of any sort of vermin that all transport ships are plagued with, we seem to be completely free of them. Or they are kept at such a small population that they are never a bother. And this seems to follow you everywhere you go. Is that not true?
Why, yes, it is definitely been an interesting little tale that has followed me throughout my life, yes.
A tale? People die around you, man.
Does that include any of your crew?
What?
I asked you a simple question, Captain. Has that included any of your crew?
What? That's... Are you threatening?
No, of course not. I'm simply making an observation. I have been with this ship a good 6+ months now, and we have been through many scrapes. Not just in space, but on various planets, on our missions, in our travels. I've been in bar fights with your crew. I've been on ground missions with your crew. I've fought alongside them in space and on planets, some hostile, some quite vibrant with life. All dangerous missions. Plenty of opportunities for these young men and women to have come to harm, were harm to follow me, as you imply. But no, not one that I can speak of has ever died in my presence. Not one. I cannot guarantee that will ever remain to be the case, of course. One cannot control such things. Just as one cannot control when things die, it is true that small incidental things have been known to die in my presence, and it has built me quite a reputation. I am aware of this, but that does not mean I am some form of threat, or that I somehow can control it and cause naked men to fall from the sky. Furthermore, Captain, if I may be so blunt, James, if I were to wish harm upon someone to make them, say, fall naked from the sky, would I be so gauche as to make it happen near me, pointing me out as perhaps a suspect in such incident? Why, no, if I had wished harm upon that person, would I not have made them fall somewhere far, far away from me, where it would have been a odd incident, but nothing more, nothing that would bring any sort of ire of the police upon myself or your crew? Does that not seem plausible? I would think that this simply happening in my presence exposes two things.
Oh, what would those be?
Oh, it's very simple, Captain. One, someone on this ship has an enemy that wishes to cause trouble for the crew of this ship, and so they pointed a crime in our direction. Or two, I have some sort of unknown enemy who wished to point that the ire of the police in my direction, to make use of my well-known reputation, as it were. Or, of course, there is number three. They simply wanted to cover up their own crime, using my reputation as a cover for it. It would simply look at another weird accident around that particular war arc. Correct?
Yes, but that's all far too easy, isn't it, Scrim?
Yes, it is. And while I know that we have a timetable to keep, Captain, one which we are well on our way to doing so, might I suggest that we take a look around, perhaps, at our next stop, if we have the opportunity? Perhaps look into this mystery on our own. See if perhaps we can discover the true villain and clear this ship's name, if not just the name of some of its crew. Does that work for persuasion? Let's take a look, shall we? I have a very good persuasion. Well, I rolled a 19 and I have a +8.
Gonna guess that succeeds.
Yeah.
Save versus 27. No. Anyway, I'll take it under advisement. Until then, I think it might be best if you're confined to your quarters, Scrim. Suddenly the captain's starting to get a bit of my accent. Very well, Captain. But may I ask one boon of you and your crew? Certainly. Could you perhaps have some of your crew clean off the hull of my ship? I do believe there's still chunks that haven't quite burned off. I was going to do the cleaning myself, but, well, confined to quarters and all. Fine. I'll make sure it happens. Very good, Captain. And so I will bow, and he'll motion for me to leave and turn back to his console. On the last episode, rather inadvertently, I referred to Scrim as Agent Scrim. It's the first thing that came to mind because I don't believe he has a rank. He isn't... There isn't so much a rank structure on this ship other than there's a hierarchy of command. There's the captain. There's the pilot. There's the engineer. And in combat, it would drop to second gunner because in combat. But otherwise, it's captain, pilot, engineer. But I am a freelancer. I am here making my way on board the ship. You know, I have my fighter. I offer up my services to assist the crew and defend the ship. But otherwise, I am a free agent or agent. Then I might also refer to my status with the Cabal, who have their own business to attend to. Now, I'm thinking I didn't do any Cabal business on that last planet. What was it named? Tendaji? Because we didn't plan to have time to be there long enough. If we'd been there for a day or two, I probably would have mixed in, seen who might, you know, observe the population, see if I could find someone in need, perhaps offer them a contract. A gambler down on their luck, maybe needing a fresh stake to help them win back what they had lost, or just to replace what they had lost. Perhaps they had put up their deed for their house and they needed to buy it back, or perhaps something even more valuable, and they would be willing to make a deal with the Cabal. But now, the Cabal, it's never a selling your soul sort of thing. Nothing so grandiose or dramatic. Never so. No. Just a piece. Just a small fraction. 5 or maybe 10%. Not eternal damnation. No. No, no. Again, nothing quite so gauche. But simply a tainted afterlife. Perhaps you would not have quite the, you know, horns and trumpets sitting at the right hand of God sort of afterlife, playing harps and dancing around with angels. No, more of a your normal life, but in a good way. It's just a more tarnished, not quite in direct view of God. You'd be one of those not thrown out of the gates, but not exactly rushed through either. But of course, people never think of it that way. They think, well, what's a soul? Is it really something real? Are these cultists? If they're stupid enough to believe in a soul, then I could sell a small percentage. Well, then I will for riches or glory. And then, when they fall on their hard luck again, they come back because, whoa, it was only 5% before. Let's make it 10 or 15. And eventually it's 25 or 30%. Of course, when they tend to break 50%, some of them suddenly find religion and they are scared. They don't, that's a line they don't wish to cross. But then there are those who either have, they're narcissistic enough to believe only in their current desires in the now. That it is all about them and that the afterlife does not matter.
They'll throw it all behind 50, 60, 75%. Most will not go further. But there are a few stupid or crazy enough to offer up their whole soul for vast riches, amazing fame, power. And the Cabal delivers. We always deliver. But that's where the problems begin. That's where they suddenly, these people who made these deals, perhaps a few years down the line, they start to grow more cautious, more mature, and they realize that they did something very, very stupid. And then suddenly they think that they can cheat, that they can somehow retain their soul. But it never works like that. Eventually, we catch up with them. Because it's not always about making the deals. Sometimes it's about enforcing the contract. And if someone tries to gain eternal life, so, for example, well, that must be dealt with, correct? Anyway, so one of my important pieces of my personality, being chaotic neutral, is that I know better than to do one thing. Like a serial killer, one does not shit where one eats. No matter how desperate a crew member may get, no matter how tempting it might be to pull out the contract, I do not sign crew members. If someone is attached to this ship, they are off limits. I have my own personal resources. I may help them in that way, just because I'm a good person. Really, I am. But no, even if they were to come to me demanding intervention by the Cabal, well, I would tell them they would have to go to another agent. My services are unavailable to them. Let's say it's an agreement. It's something I would have agreed to anyway. But the engineer knows damn well what the Cabal is and what we do. I suspect they have a contract themselves, perhaps only for a fraction, but they don't want that to occur to anyone on this ship. And I have to agree. Spacefarers tend to be marked as running from their contract all too often. For it's so easy for a contract holder to go, I need only fly out into the outer rim, get as far away from the Cabal as possible, that they may somehow escape. But well, contract law is absolute, and we are everywhere. In fact, I saw at least two other Cabal members in that seedy little town I was last in Tendaji. I'm sure there were probably more. Were they out searching for lost contracts, broken contracts, or simply looking for unfortunates to help? We'll never know, because my ass don't intend to go back. Now then, let's skip ahead. We'll pull to a new catalyst as we arrive on board, arrive at the next planet, which was called Niman. We're delivering a shipment for agricultural supplies from various foodstuffs from Eingar of Tendaji. Catalyst. I see. Interesting. Is this catalyst referring to myself? No. Is it part of the named crew? No. That's good. Okay. I believe Tamora, the engineer, will come to my door a few days after I was confined. One moment, and I'll get up and straighten my uniform, which is basically just a workman's type of, you know, outfit. Not so much a uniform, but make sure my insignia is for the ship is placed properly in case it's the captain. No use getting yelled at for looking slovenly. Come. The door will open and there's Tamora. Ah, good engineer. I was just putting away my black magic supplies.
Ah, cut it, you asshole. You know better than that.
Yes, yes. Come, sit down. I could use with some company this day.
Oh, there's no need. You're free.
Auden?
Yeah, that's why I'm here. Captain Morrissey wanted me to let you know that, you're free to, roam the ship. You're no longer confined to quarters.
With his apologies. I'm sorry. Come again?
You heard me.
With his apologies.
He actually said that, Frank.
Wow, that's, something I never expected to hear from the man, being as proud as he is.
Yes, well, there's news. You remember that, splat?
How could I forget it? It happened right in front of me. Yes, well, I believe the captain found out who it is, who's responsible, so to speak. Indeed, I had suggested that we as a crew look into this once we arrive at our next destination. I take it he took me up on that suggestion.
And how? He's been questioning staff for the last several days, personally.
Well, I think this was very personal for him. He has a reputation, as does this ship, to always making its deadlines, and this did threaten our deadline, did it not?
Yeah. Anyway, so he found a traitor.
A traitor?
Yeah. Apparently this newer crewman that came on board a couple planets back, he was one of my guys, actually. Quiet. Didn't really have much to say. Let's draw for a name. Larrick. So this Larrick, nice enough guy, but quiet, like I said, apparently is a plant. Or the captain believes he's some sort of plant for a rival coalition of ships.
Well, that's quite interesting. But I'm not sure murder is really worth it. Doesn't this seem a little bit of, if you'll forgive the pun, overkill?
That's the thing. That guy wasn't alive. It was just a cadaver.
Yes. But dead before he landed, as opposed to dead upon landing. Still dead.
I think you misunderstand me, Frank. He was dead. Like, as in, had been dead for a few days. I guess the feds got a hold of the captain, and word is the stiff was a body that had been stolen.
Stolen, you say?
Yeah. And then they dropped it from high altitude. They were actually attempting to land it over towards the, on the other side of the ship while the ship was being unloaded. To disrupt that, which would have absolutely slowed down our process and cost us quite a bit of money,
indeed,
which would have cost us future contracts. So what's a little theft of a body and abuse of a corpse, although in a rather unique manner? What's that compared to your cartel snatching up many of our contracts, both past customers and future ones.
Perhaps. But doesn't that feel a little easy?
Come on, Frank, you've been cleared. Isn't that good enough?
Oh, no, absolutely. I'm quite pleased. See? I'm even smiling.
Yeah, please, don't do that.
Okay. Anyway, I believe there is more to this. And if the captain is content, that's fine, but I do believe I will need to keep my ear to the ground.
Are you sure? You're so far up from it.
Funny. Would you have me smile at you again?
No.
All right. Anyway, the point is, when we continue on our journeys, I'm going to be looking around, be more careful. And I think you should be as well. For most of the crew that comes and goes is under your purview, is it not?
That's true. Yeah, I'll be definitely more careful on who I'm hiring and their references. The ships they've been on, be a little more thorough.
Indeed, as best you can. I believe it to be best for all of us. Also, it will definitely protect us from the captain's ire. We wouldn't want him to think that we are not being careful when it comes to preventing traitors on board the ship.
Oh, hell no, you're right on that. James is a good guy, but when he gets in a rage...
Yes, yes, I'm fully aware. I've heard tales.
And so I'm going to go spot check my ship first thing. Is it in tip-top condition?
No.
Did they at least clean it like they said they would? Emphatically, yes. But nothing else has been done. So it hasn't had its maintenance. It hasn't been refueled. None of that. So I guess I had better get to that.
Let me see. Skill-wise, what am I looking at here?
Those are not skills. Those are ship systems. Wrong page. Well, it's a technology role, I would guess. Yes. And I do not have technology as a skill. And intelligence is a dump stat. Because I don't need it as a warlock. Yay. But let me roll anyway. Well, I rolled an 18. I love this dice right now. Even with a minus for not having the skill and no bonus for that being a dump stat, I'm going to say it still succeeds. I'm going to say I needed a 15, got a 16 total. So that's cool. So I'm able to do the basic work around the ship. I think I need to get technology. Unfortunately, I was unable to do that with my background and whatnot. So, alrighty. Let's see now. What sort of planet is this we're landing on anyway? Looking for inspirations here. I think this is a more technological planet, maybe an industrial planet. It's this Neon. There's smokestacks spewing forth green, glowing green smoke into the sky. Most people walk around with respirators of some sort. I believe we'll do the same. I have a life suit. Once we've landed and they're offloading, inside the air is filtered, so I will manage to get inside as quickly as possible. I think the landing bay is going to be closer, you know, the starport is going to be closer here to the city, since the city has just sprawled out as much as it's in amongst the industrial power plants and factories. City is kind of propped up around them. Where am I going to go? I believe it's going to be a restaurant. I don't really care about the name so much, but I'll just kind of follow in several of the other crew members of the ship, the Slipstream Vagabond. Am I able to take a booth in the back? Yes. So I will do so. When they come with a menu, I will just wave it away and ask for the special and a coffee. They will be creeped out, as always. Take down my order and quickly move away. See, that my natural tendency does tend to work in my favor. I don't have to talk to people. I don't want to.
Just remember, if you can't play with your friends, you can't always play with yourself. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it.
There's no chance that happened, honey.
Please leave us a good review over on the podcasting service where you downloaded this show.
You want them to lie?
And don't forget to return again next week for more rousing adventures with your host, Scormay.
How about no?